All subject matter of the preceding podcast is entirely alleged and not admissible in a court of law. And just in case you rat bastards get any ideas, the hosts of this podcast are notorious and well-documented liars with no legally admissible credibility. This is Mama C, and you're listening to Notes from the Pen podcast. Welcome to prison, bitch.
It's been a while since I've heard you do an intro.
Oh my God, nobody wants that.
So give it a whirl.
Nobody wants that.
Give it. Oh, you will. Listen. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Mama C countdown in 3, 2. Greetings from the prison industrial complex. I am your co-host, JD. And with me today is your incarcerated best friend.
Well, come on. Bobby. Hold on. Introduce the show, the name of the show.
No, we don't.
Give it another
that.
Whirl.
We're that popular.
Give it another. That's the one thing that has to happen. You have to say you're listening to the Nacho and Podcast.
Mama C countdown in 3.
Because it started out really good. The tone. I like the tone and tempo.
Greetings from the prison industrial complex. Welcome to the Notes from the Pen podcast. I'm your faithful co-host, JD, and with me, as always, is your favorite incarcerated main host, Bobby Cow, a.k.a. B-L-A-C-K, a.k.a. Bobby Analog. What's up, buddy?
Hey, a.k.a. Bobby Bermuda, a.k.a. I don't know, I've got a whole list of them, and they're
There's
all ridiculous equally. Mm-hmm. And I've got to create alter egos to apply to those names and in characters and the way they dress. It's a whole thing. It's going to be a thing. They'll each have their own TikTok channel.
I can't wait for every time I sign into a hotel. It's going to be great. Endless options.
You know what Tupac used? You know Tupac's name? This is how much of a Tupac nerd I am. When Tupac got shot during his, and he had to go to court the next day and all that stuff when he was in New York for his... He went the day later, 2 days, 3 days later, checked himself out of the hospital, got sentenced to like, I don't know how many years in prison, and went to prison with the bandage on his head from getting all shot up. He checked himself out of the main hospital he went to because he thought he was, you know, people were trying to kill him because he'd gotten shot 5 times.
Okay.
Paranoid. And so he went to like a private place to hospital. Is that a thing? He went somewhere else. And the name he used was Bob Day.
Bob Day.
And I don't know, Bob Day.
Really?
Oh, Bob Day. No one would ever think to look for Bob Day. But have you ever met anyone with the last name Day?
No.
Is that even a last name?
What? Any word can technically be a last name.
A?
A's not a word. That's a letter.
A? A place?
A place?
Yeah. A book?
That'd be interesting.
Do you know a Jeffrey A?
Do I know a Jeffrey A? No. I don't.
Okay.
Do you?
What's your last name? Say your last name on the show.
No. Mine is
real. What's your last name? I'll say mine.
Real last name unknown, buddy.
Wow.
I don't want people beating down
my door. We're going to have to work on this trust thing.
Do you know how popular this podcast is?
They're going to beat down your door and beg to be talked.
Be like, oh my God, I know
that guy. Beg to be talked over. They're going to beat down your door and beg to be talked over by you. Please talk. Hey, I heard you. I've been listening for years. Will you talk to me? Will you please talk? And before they can get it out, hey, I'm. How'd you get here? Who are you? So listen.
Yeah.
So I love you. So we owe you guys a show, and JD is forcing me to record today. And so I thought, and it'd be nice for you to do the intro. It's a nice thing to wake up and be like, I got to get this laid down. I can't wait. I want to talk about this. Dante's Inferno was one of those ones. Even though this is how you know that was a thing that I was like really eager to get out. And it was like an unsatiated urge was that it lasted for the week. We took a week off. And that's rare. Usually I can't get back in things like that. And got right back into it. And by the way, was feeling real down in the dumps the other day, about 2-3 days ago. And
what?
Not about show or anything necessarily. about like the edits and the shit going on with the phone with calling Natty and doing the line edits for the all just a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I, every now and again, I'll get the urge or impulse to be like, I'm done, man. I'm done like doing all this shit. Like I can't. Mm-hmm. Like I need a break. Like I'm not feeling it. And a lot of it feels like to me, I feel like, Does anyone get it? Like, does anyone, and obviously the people who listen and repeatedly listen get it. Yeah. But in my mind, does anyone get it, like, on all the levels? Like, why isn't every human being on the planet listening to this? I know that's super egotistical and great.
All right, so like that's that, your ego.
But I really,
kick it in.
But no, but I feel like, we kind of bonded on some of this stuff. I feel like my favorite bands and artists, musicians, and authors and stuff like that, they're not necessarily the biggest, but to me, it's because you can't account for the taste of the general public, right? Like, there is a reason the Fast and the Furious movies are on, like, 20. They're on, like, their 20th.
Yeah.
You know, and it's also a reason they never won an Academy Award for any meaningful category, right? Like, just popularity doesn't exactly account for credibility and stuff like that. So, I'm thinking, like, man, I just don't know how, if whatever. And then I go, and, hey, Mom, did any comments on the Dante episode? Yeah. No, nothing yet, but it's early. It just came out. Yeah, it makes sense. Why would there be? And then, you know, I was just going to say, I hang up and I saunter in. Like Eeyore, I slap a fucking pot of honey out of Winnie the Pooh's hands, and I go in there and so. But I check, but I'm really like, I'm so like,
well, you need
despondent.
Feedback.
It's like, it's bordering. No, that's not even it. It's not that I needed that. That was the least of it, right?
Okay.
Like I'm so despondent. I'm like bordering on just despondent. Like where I'm thinking of. Well, let's not get too dark here. I'm like really like losing the. Let's keep it lighthearted. Right? So, I'm just like there's no more steam in this engine, and just Jesus take me in my sleep, please. Just do something, please. And I go and I mean that's only half of a joke, but I go in and I check the JPEG. Oh fuck! I don't want to say. I almost said his government name, but old Ghost Gerbils is on there. He's like, listen. How big is your penis? It's got to be huge. Okay, maybe I added that part. But that's like the vibe. I feel like I might have added that. I don't know. I'll go back and check. But he says, he says, basically, like, listen, that Dante episode was dope. It was amazing.
Good.
You know, like,
good.
I haven't read Dante. I feel like I need to, but
really?
Also maybe I
that's
don't, or I should. But also maybe... Also, maybe I don't need to because he said I didn't know Virgil was in it, and I had to clarify. I said it's not the sidekick of Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man, Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that guy,
right?
It wasn't.
I'm glad he picked
Virgil
up on that.
Said, oh, right.
Yeah,
he's a big fan of WWE, Ghost Gerbil, Bloodline rules, and so it just like it. I just needed it. You know what I mean?
Well,
and he's one of those guys
that you don't. You know, the fact that he feels he doesn't need to read it. Speaks volumes to how well you describe the actual story.
But yeah, one of the things I'm trying to, my highest ideal for an episode is to convey or to, by act of like contagion, to transmute my excitement or whatever the emotion is about something, to share it in a way you would share like with your friend, like kind of how like when I discovered my new favorite author who I've never read.
Yeah.
Percival Everett,
right?
Who they based the movie Erasure on. And like when I discovered it, I was like, why didn't I know who this guy is? This guy's amazing. I'm embarrassed. I live my life trying to seek out things that I know are super cool that maybe not everyone knows about and I don't know about yet. And then when I do, I'm like, oh, my life's so much better for it. This guy's cool as hell. And then I get to share it with you real briefly, but this show's like a larger extension of that, of like trying to share the experience or whatever it is with a larger group of people who listen, and to know like it worked, right? Like it landed well in the sense that wasn't about so much about me being like, hey, look, I discovered Dante how cool it is, but more like, look how cool Dante's Inferno is, and look at the way, like, I looked at this thing in the past and really didn't get the whole grasp of the entire thing and all its nuance and depth. Trying to convey some of that excitement you would to your friend when you discover something new or cool or whatever.
Did anybody else respond?
No, which is why I'm back to but there's responding in the comment and stuff. That's different from someone like writing me. And don't, please, you guys don't have to send me a bunch of stuff about it. But because it was Ghost Dribbles too, you know how we think of him. He's
sure.
like a
he's up there. Benjamin King.
Thank you for you.
All right.
Wow, did you get kicked out of line, buddy?
No, well, I was in the outside. There's two outside studios. There's the patio studio, which is what's open more often than not. My favorite studio is the Dig Yard studio because there's six phones out there. You could really like blend in and get lost amongst the numbers. And
it's got the big comfy chairs.
I can stay on and make as many calls as I need, really. I am currently, the patio studio is down to three phones. So, and it's nice out, so there's a bunch of people who wouldn't normally. Can I just tell you how annoyed I get at people who are fair weather phone callers? Because it means that, one, your call's either not important enough to make when it's like shitty outside and you're really not committed to this gritty phone lifestyle. Or number two, you don't have the heart to really. But this makes me a shithead. Sure, I know. But I'm just going to tell you, I just don't, like, it's nice out. And then I just see all these people like, oh, this is like a casual call for you. Oh, you're out here like connecting with family and just talking to friends like a real cuck. You know what I mean? Like a real Nancy. Why don't you create a show where you rant to completely innocent strangers who actually are compassionate? And why don't you also get a mom where she has to run every little website and social media and edits and contacts. And why don't you try living that life where that's your phone call? Because that's commitment. I don't have time for friends, family, or love, or connection, or anything positive, okay? I'm out here to stick my face in the fucking dirt and to get some shit done. Now get out of here and tell your kid you'll see him when you get out. that's how I feel about that. Now, am I right?
No.
Probably not. Probably not, but I'm just telling you how I feel.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I feel like I see all these new faces out there, and I go, get the oh, so your kid's not important enough to talk to when it's raining, huh? Is that the case?
I didn't see you out here with five layers on top and seven on the bottom trying to make a phone call.
I piss my pants sometimes so I don't lose my spot in line, okay?
I'm out here collecting rocks, looking for spiders.
I have fucking paper clips linked to the phone when they're broken so I can use them.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, oh, Jeff wants to talk to little Timmy. Oh, it's his birthday. Who gives a shit?
Fuck you, Timmy.
Fuck you, Timmy. You should have won the parent lottery, and you didn't because your dad's in here. Okay, all right. So I'm inside, and the whole mood is different in here. I don't get to see. I literally, the only sun I see is cast through the windows because even our windows have bars on them. So there's like this silhouette of bars cast across the tile floor in front of me, only to be trumped in negativity and just sheer soul crushing ambiance by the fluorescent lights that this shift seems to. I bet you they went and installed fucking fluorescent lights in every room in their house and they just. They're on all the time because it doesn't make sense. That's how you know who's working. 5 a.m, fluorescent lights on. Think, and just a little bit of my soul evaporates out of me every day. But I gain a little bit here. So the point is, I didn't really have any big itching desire for a theme episode today. And I thought, well, why not do an update? And then I called you, and you were on the same page because you care.
I do.
And you're one of the good ones.
I want to know how you guys, how they handled the eclipse. Did they give you all glasses?
Oh, listen. Okay. So here's the thing too. So never once cared really about eclipses and stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But as I get older, I've opened myself up to more of like the wonder and the experience
science.
Of nature and life and all this stuff. Right. Science. Yeah. I guess science too. But, So I'm listening to NPR a lot, and they get to talking about the solar eclipse and how rare it is. The last time was 2017. I know it feels like they're every couple of years, but the last total solar eclipse in America was in the 70s.
Oh, I thought it was like 200 years ago. We've had a couple of good eclipses, but not totality. Not like
total eclipse, 70s, 2017. Really? Now the next one's 2024. I mean 2044. That's this year. 2044. 20 years from now is the next one. So I'm listening to these eclipse chasers, as they call them.
What a
people who are really they're committed. They're committed to the eclipse, like I'm committed to the phone.
Yeah.
And I respect that, right? And so the way they describe this though is like, listen. This shit is life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, oh, yeah, get dark. Who gives a shit? No, when you're in the path of totality, especially like when you're in the center, it blocks it out perfectly so that you can see the aurora, but then you can also see like little bright sun flares that are like mm-hmm. probably at the size of the earth, like flaring off the side, and you can see the planets light up.
Yep.
And it's the only time you can see some stuff like that. And the guy said, listen, a total 100% eclipse, if you were to see a 99.9% eclipse, it's 1/1,000,000th of the experience that seeing a total one is.
Mm-hmm.
So immediately I get like a solar eclipse FOMO, like this bastard. It's like running traipsing around the world, staring into the sun without going blind. And I've also heard horror stories on NPR about a dude, he's older now, when he was 12, he had like the day off of school. So it's been 2017.
Okay.
And he's like, I heard like you can look at it through a mirror. And he blinded himself.
Yep.
And he just stared at it. Through a medium blind soap, he messed his eyes up real bad.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it for like weeks on end. And then I wake up and it said it was going to be cloudy up here. Now we're not in the what's it called? The path of totality.
Okay.
But Detroit looks like it's just outside of it, like 30-minute drive. You could get to it. And we're a little bit outside of Detroit. So I'm like, well, maybe we'll get like a 90% one. That'll be cool.
Yep.
So I wake up, I'm all excited. They're doing a countdown on every channel. I'm watching it when it comes through Mexico. And so I start doing the math. I'm like, okay, look, it's going to be up here around 3 o'clock. Now, yard closes at 3:30, so that's good.
Yep.
They said it was going to be cloudy a week ago. We got the best fucking weather ever. That's mm-hmm. awesome. So I'm like doing all the math, and I'm like, sweet. Okay, how am I going to do it? I'm thinking about like looking in the reflection on my tablet, but also wearing glasses, like double up glasses. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. And then I look at my call out and realize I got class today.
Oh.
And it starts at 3 o'clock.
Oh, shit.
But they didn't open yard either, right? So the patio's closed like around lunchtime. And in my mind, I'm going, these bastards, they're closing it because they think, like, I don't know.
Blind every prisoner.
Right. Well, that's what I realized secondarily. At first, I go, oh, they just don't want us getting all riled up and experiencing something cool. And I don't know, maybe it's going to get dark, so they're worried about that. And then I heard someone talking. They're like, I'm going to go look right at it. And then I went, oh, no, it's so we don't blind ourselves. That's why. And they're right. They're right to do it. It's the same reason there's like they have weather advisories, like winter, like temperature advisories.
Yeah.
Because a guy will go out there and he'll be working out in his underwear and he'll freeze to death. And they're like, okay, like we have to make decisions for you. Like for some of us. So yeah. So I'm like, oh, they're not gonna open it. And I actually stand by I understand their decisions because everyone's going to have to go to the eye doctor within the next week. It's going to be flooded. A bunch of people are going to need
each other.
They're going to have MDOC eye patches and fucking, for real, like they have to pay for our glasses. So, right? So, the moment it makes sense to me, and I'm like, yeah, they're right. Like, comically on cue, they go, patios and yards open.
Oh, no. No shit.
It's starting to get dark as I'm walking to class. And people are just staring into the sun like a bunch of amazing,
Jesus
like the amazing Christ. Humans we are. And I love them. And these are my people. And I love them. Because guess what? You only live once.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you only see up to a certain point, up to a certain solar eclipse. And then from there on out, we just listen. We mm-hmm. just listen to everything, and we smell, and we taste, and we touch. And that's good enough for us.
Yep.
Because So, yeah, how about you? You were probably in a path of totality.
Right, totality. Oh, yeah. I completely nerded out At 2:32:54, I started Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
You've seen it.
Synced
you
up
bastard.
Completely. The last line of that record is, "And everything under the sun will be eclipsed by the moon." And when that line was said, we had totality. And I am a fucking big-ass nerd. The minute it went to totality, you could take your glasses off and stare right at it.
Yeah.
And it was fucking insane because you saw solar flares. It was insanity. You looked to the east, it looked like the sun was setting. You looked to the west, it looked like the sun was rising. We had that shit for about 3.5 minutes, and then it was instantly blinding again. Like, the tiniest of crack of it moving off of the sun was just back to blindness. It was insane.
I've
seen anything.
Did it change your life?
No, but it was, it was an experience, you know.
Did it make you feel small in the universe?
I was really hoping my beard would just turn white. Like, just go straight Gandalf, just boom!
yeah, that would have been gnarly. What happened? Just fucking stared through the moon into the sun. No, I stare through the moon into the sun.
Yeah, you stare through things. Yeah.
Yeah. So I go to class, right? And I'm like, immediately, can we go outside? Like, hey, are you going to let us out at 3 o'clock? And she's like, no, but you guys can't even look at it anyways. And the guy next to me, the group of characters in my substance abuse class is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking amazing. The dude next to me is younger. He's like, oh, I need to look at it. And I'm like, thank you. At least someone, and no one else really cares. Me and him are like next to each other. And I'm
right.
Like, yeah, like I need to see this. And I'm like trying to hype everyone up. I'm like, they say it's life-changing. Right. Meanwhile, we're in a substance abuse treatment class. Like, we're all trying to change their lives, but we get it. And so, but the way it's positioned, there's like windows to the right. And she's like, well, if you guys want to get up, she's like, you can't look at it anyways, though. And he's like, yeah, we got glasses. She's like, those don't work. He's like, I'll be fine. Before whatever. I keep looking over to the window. She's like, you can get up and look at it if you want. So if I go to this, like, one. Our doors have like these little safety glass slits in them, like,
yep.
You know, 6 inches wide, and they're tall. So if I go all the way over there, and I brought my MP3 player tablet, it's like dark screen stuff, so I can look in the reflection. So I hold it up to it so I can see it, put my glasses on, and I'm trying to see how it's a sliver, I assume, because it's getting dark out, but it's way too bright to look at.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't tell where the sliver is. So I stared at it for about 45 minutes. I went and sat back down and kept waiting for it to get, like, peak darkness. And,
yeah.
And I thought it was getting darker than it did. And before I noticed it, I'm like, I think it's getting brighter out. What the fuck? I missed it. But, and then I also realized we're farther away from Detroit than I thought. So,
yeah.
And it's, I was talking to Ray, and I was really bummed out that I wouldn't be able to go out there and look at it. She said, it's probably better. I said, I stared in the sun before. She said, what's that mean? Why would you do
that? What's that mean?
I'm a contrarian. What are you talking about? You say, I can't? Watch me.
Ow.
This hurts. This hurts. This is not nice.
Oh,
and so, yeah, so there's that. So
talk to me about the people in your class, because this sounded interesting to me. You sounded that there was a cast of characters that we need to be aware of.
So there's 15 people in this class. The teacher, she's young. If I had to guess, I'd say like 23, 24 maybe. She's kind of an archetype too. Liberal. I don't know. It's so weird. It's like so hard to talk about people that you would like position on either side of a political spectrum without like infuriating them. You know what I mean? Because the way everything is now, with us, you're against us.
Totally.
And I'm not with anybody but the phonies, as I call them out here, that stand in the phone line with me.
Mm-hmm.
And you, of course, Mama C and all the pebbles and stuff. But I don't draw my allegiances like that. But I realized recently, like, oh, that's why everyone hates me on both sides. It's because I'm just not clearly loyal to either of them necessarily. Like, I mean, socially, I'm way more liberal. But I also don't believe either side has every fucking thing right and they're all flawless and the other one's all satanic. Even though one side is ironically
clearly
more satanic,
yeah.
I think. But the point is, you can't really say shit about either one without being declared an enemy of the state or,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
It's right. Suffice it to say, she's just a teacher.
She's right.
I'm getting out of the class vibe with your current situation.
Okay,
in class.
This is where I was going. Breakfast Club.
Okay.
It's like the Breakfast Club. In the sense that there's like all the archetypes there, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is some really, I really actually do get something out of this class. It's, we're kind of.
So are you the Judd Nelson?
So yeah, so I don't think it works like that. I fancy myself the facilitator between the teacher and the, I'm the translator between what the people are trying to say and like, because it's a, there really is a huge barrier experientially between a whole
23-year-old you know, female teacher and a
I don't know that she's exactly that age. And that's pretty, gender, that's some gender bias. And I don't really appreciate it.
Okay.
And we're going to move forward. But yeah, there's a. I once heard Adam Carolla say this, and I related to it. He said, whenever two people are in an argument and they misunderstand, like you can tell the misunderstanding, I know what both of them are trying to say, and this is like the bane of my existence. I know what that one. So he thinks you're saying this, mm-hmm. right? So that's why he's doing that. And she thinks you're saying this, which is why she's saying that. And it sucks because you constantly know, like, no, you know, that's not, you constantly see that, like, the miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I was like, yeah, I find myself in a lot of those positions too. So there's some of that in here, but the characters are super funny. They're, if this could be a reality show, it'd be great. And there are, most of it is the poignant, serious and meaningful moments and also the seriousness of the subject matter set up are a really great setup for humor. You know what I mean? It's a really great counterbalance for when absurd shit happens, right? So there's one or two people in the class that are just, how do I say this nicely?
Dummies.
Not the brightest. Oh, whoa. Okay, you said it.
That's okay. Wait, and, let me ask you real quick. Do you struggle like between trying to take notes about the actual class or the content versus I'm taking notes because this is going to be a hell of an episode later or a TV show?
Yeah, I don't. You don't really need to take too many notes, and it's pretty repetitive.
Okay.
But I definitely don't think I'm fully, like, as much as I like to make fun of everything and be irreverent about shit, I take the class serious in the sense that I'm not there to fuck around and I'm not really fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even think about the stuff until later. Now, there are moments, there's one guy in there I really like that I feel like gets it all too, like sees everything. And like when people say absurd stuff, we now like make up. So the tables are the long tables, and they're set like flea market long tables, and they're set up in like a U shape around the teacher's desk at the head of the class, and then we're like, so there's two sideways ones, perpendicular mm-hmm. ones, and then one parallel at her desk. And I sit across from her in the parallel part, and my buddy sits over to the left flank, like right when you walk in the door, and like we will lock eyes when someone says something ridiculous. And
sure.
So there's one guy who misunderstands everything the teacher's saying. And not just misunderstands, believes the exact opposite of what she's saying. Right? So you have to partake in this class. Like, you have to talk. And you can tell when you do, because the first time you speak, she'll take a pen and, like, what I'm assuming, marking a notch by your name, like saying you participated.
Check. Yep.
Yes. Because that's another thing. We all go by last names in there. And so it's interesting because it forces people to say things that have already been said and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so people who would otherwise not speak have to. There's this really, I really like this guy. He's a super introvert.
Okay.
He talks when I talk. Well, I was on meth for 6 years, and, you know, it was tough for me for a while. And we're like, well, hold on, what? But he participates, and he talks about, we're all honest and stuff in there, and he talks about how, like, he's not an extrovert, and it makes him uncomfortable, but he pushes through it, and he's growing, he's getting better at it.
Okay.
But there's the dude who misunderstands everything, she'll give, like, a prompt, like, okay, who's got an example of, like, a thinking error that led to, like, an impulsive decision? That's one of the big things.
Okay.
And so, like, it'll get around to this bigger dude. He's, like, kind of a biker-looking dude, fat, but like stocky, burly, and he's got like a great head of hair that he doesn't really take care of that well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the guys who have good hair that like are kind of disheveled, they don't really appreciate how they have good hair. It's like graying, but like black too, and it's always like disrupted. You know,
yep.
Like tussled.
Just
and So most people will say, oh, thinking error, like, yeah, I jumped to conclusions and I was doing mind reading or whatever. Like, you know, you're supposed to say something you fucked up, and then we get to him and he'll say something like, yeah, well, he'll say something great he did. He'll be like, yeah, you know, someone was mad at me and I was the bigger man, and I told them, you know what, you go ahead and get it. You take the phone. And everyone's like looking at each other like, she's like, right, but how is that a thinking error? And he'll go, he's like Chris Farley, like scattering to like,
a lot of
wait, what?
He's like shuffling his years.
He's like shuffling his papers going, wait, oh man, I misunderstood. The thinking error, and he tries to make something up.
Meanwhile, he's having an older thinking error.
There's a
system reload.
There's this older dude who's like, he's like 60 something. He's got a big underbite and he's got a gray, like lined up beard and glasses. And he only jumps in with one liners, complete non sequiturs. So he'll just come out with some completely random stuff. And nine times out of 10, he'll jump in with an example of a real life situation that recently happened where his anger got the best of him. And it usually has to do with a med line. So he's like, yeah.
Really? Okay.
I was at the line, and they said I was too late. So there was like a water cooler to fill your little paper cup up so you can take your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he cussed the lady and then threw the water in the glass. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, no.
And then a cop came over and talked to him and calmed him down. But he just chimes in with these. Yesterday, he chimed in. He works in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And he's like, got in my boss. And they're just so... they're so needed, like, to break up the monotony. He'll just, out of nowhere, he'll chime in with how he's just constantly almost throttling someone. Like, just, he's just, every time he starts talking, I'm like, oh, this is going to lead to him throwing water at someone or, like, yeah. About to, you know,
yeah.
Thank God he's older.
Zero to 100.
So, yeah, it's a very interesting situation. And we're at our halfway point now. We're going to have to do our midterm interviews and stuff. I mentioned this one thing this last class that someone else kind of picked up on. You know what? I don't want to get into it just in case.
Okay.
Like, I was trying to translate for someone and saying, you know, addiction counseling, they talk a lot about getting sober because this guy, the other guy, he was saying, you know, I've been sober before. He's been in prison like 3 or 4 times.
Okay.
He's like, I've been sober like for stretches, but something always pulls me back into the lifestyle. I feel incomplete and whatever. And so I said, you know, a lot of this stuff centers on getting sober, right? But I said, one of the things that I feel happens is, I feel like just being human means you have some sort of void or incompleteness. You know, I even said, like, that's, you know, the Buddhists say it's life is suffering and all this stuff. And I said, I feel like we haven't been taught enough that once you do get sober, then what? Like, to what end? Like, what's your meaning and purpose? What do
sure.
you do with it? Because sober for the sake of sober... that's not, you know, a fire in your belly motivation. I mean, for some people it might be, but for some people who are, you know, constantly relapsing and they struggle, I feel, and that are addicted to the fast life out there, which it's intoxicating to live that lifestyle. It's edgy and scary and immediate gratification and mm-hmm. all that stuff. That I just didn't want him to beat up on himself. I said, a lot of people don't teach you that. Like, finding your meaning once you're sober is just as important as getting sober. Sure, you have to be sober to do it, but finding your meaning is work, and no one can just give it to you. You've got to work for it. And I said, a lot of times people don't tell you that. So you get sober, and you're just like, okay, I guess so now I just work a 9-to-5 and sit mm-hmm. under fluorescent lights. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, the no refunds stand-up, stand-up, I think that's what it's called, no refund. The first time I ever saw him, he's talking about that. Like, of course people aren't antidepressants. No one, it's not natural to sit for 10 hours a day in a fucking little cubicle on fluorescent lights, of course. The teacher goes, well, when I'm done, he's like, yeah, I get it. And when I'm done, we're done talking, she goes, well, I disagree. I don't think humans are born with a void. And I was like, right, but felt like incomplete in your life or like something was missing. She's like, nope. And I went, oh, okay.
Wow.
All right. Well,
nope.
All right. Well, okay. Never mind. I guess we're fucked up. Well, you know, like we were just talking too about like this inherent insecurity that we can have in here. I was trying to like voice that too. Like,
that seems almost dangerous for her to come back with that kind of like quip because
I don't.
How does she?
Yeah, I don't want to get
shouldn't insert herself. Like,
I think the problem was it's not in the book. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not in the prompt.
Isn't in the book. It's not in. Yeah, I think it's not in the book. Let me say this about her. I can tell she really cares, and she doesn't judge us, and she is compassionate, and she's all the most important things she is, mm-hmm. right? She's not perfect, just like we're not perfect. And I just think that was like a missed opportunity. And the dude said something to me when we got out of class. He's like, that was a good point. And like, thank you. I thought it was weird that she shot it down. You know what I mean? Instead of saying like, whatever. He's the one who brought it. He said, we were just talking about how there's an inherent insecurity to being an inmate. Like you always feel like you're behind the eight ball or you're being compared to some stereotype. And he said, you know, it bothered him too. But I want to say that she's a really good teacher. She cares, and that's the most important thing. Awesome. And she's not perfect, and she hasn't made. I don't think she's lived the life we have. Maybe she has. I doubt it because her life is still intact. You know what I mean?
That's a good indicator.
And I want to point that out too. But that was the first time in the class where, at the end, we have to fill out a survey. Every class where we say, there's three questions, 1 through 10. Did you feel heard and understood?
Okay.
Did you learn something? And then were you satisfied? I usually just circle all 10s. Boom, 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 boom. This time I actually circled lower on the did you feel understood or heard, and how satisfied were you with the section? I didn't give a zero. It was like a 4 and a 6 or something for that 10. Okay. But
is there no like comments, like here, write your comments at the bottom. Like, why would you score?
Yeah, I don't want to do that. Okay. I don't want to do that. I already feel like I toe the line of, you know, this show, you guys know this, like you guys get extreme versions of me. You get the very brash, irreverent, shit talky version of me, but you guys know this, that covers up the sincerity in me. That's
sure.
It wasn't always this way, but I've grown to try to get people the benefit of the doubt, aside from all the joking and shit I do about phone lines and all that stuff. Underneath there, I try to be a decent human being, and I try to give people the benefit of the doubt because I know I need the benefit of the doubt. I fucked up a lot.
I would listen. And I wouldn't be here if I didn't see that quality in you.
Yeah, but you couldn't find a better guy to talk over than me, so you're kind of listen, I know that. I wish we had a fucking... Listen, I'm going to see if I can't catch the phone outside.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything.
Because I want to talk about, and on a positive note, with the new Bunky situation.
Yeah,
I know
sure.
some people probably will figure out that played out. So hopefully I can... There's not a million people out there.
And, right.
I can catch you for a couple of minutes. All right, let me shoot out real quick.
Yep. Hey, man.
I'm putting the timer on. We probably got about 10 minutes.
Okay, there. let's do this shit. What's the Bunky situation, homie?
So, you know, you guys know.
Yeah.
Touchy subject.
Right.
New Bunky comes in. About 5'6", slight build, white dude. Looks to be anywhere from 36 to 45, somewhere around there. He walks in. He's the fishiest fish I've ever seen. The least natural, or I don't know. There's a level of, so when you're a fish and you first come in, there's stuff you just don't know, right? But there's also a sort of street intuition you have about people and things, and you kind of move and stuff. And most people have been to county. I mean, everyone's been to county at least once, but county jail a couple of times. And you kind of get the feel of like a limited version of what prison culture is going to be like before you come. Him, not so much. But that's besides the point. I don't need that, right? Like you can teach a bunkie, you can train a bunkie. And as long as they're willing and they're a good person and they're, you know, you guys know. Mm-hmm. And so when he first comes in, I said, you up here? And, you know, tell him his bump. He says, yeah. I said, okay. Introduce ourselves. I'm so-and-so. You're so-and-so. Dap, dink.
Mm-hmm.
Never shake hands with her because you don't know what people have been touching with their fingers. And
right.
stuff. But you dap, boom, what's up? So he's standing kind of by my locker in front of me. So I stand up and I say, you smoke paint? The first thing out the gate I ask is if he smokes vape. Mm-hmm. And my QB Polo just falls out laughing. Because I told everyone that's the first thing I'm asking my new bunkie. And he goes, oh, fuck yeah. And I said, Jesus fucking Christ. He's thinking I wanted him to say yes, right? And I go, listen, the last two bunkies, it was a thing. They were tape zombies. It will not happen again here. And he immediately reeled it in. He went, no, I tried it once, but I won't be doing it. I'm not.
Gotcha.
And I, you know, and over the next couple of minutes, as he's getting ready, I said a couple of things. I clarified. I said, listen, you can do whatever, you can do what you want. You can smoke that shit if you want, but you won't be smoking it in here.
Right.
The last guy I had put out, the other one, you know what I mean? It's just been a thing. And so what started off as like really terrible turned out to be him, like just thinking that that's what was like the cool thing to say. And it worked out. And since then he's a quiet, respectful man.
Okay.
Who is light in stature, so he doesn't shake the bunk a bunch. He's willing to learn. He's. This is one of the things that's really annoying with a new officiant that comes in is when they pretend like they know everything. He's not like that. He's willing to ask questions. He draws. I gave him some of my colored pencils.
Nice.
And he'll like draw shit and show me.
Why is he down?
I don't know. I don't care to ask that stuff anymore.
That's cool.
You know what I mean?
Well, normally you would read their paperwork.
I don't want to know. You know what I mean? And also it turns out, Nate knows him because Nate knows
everybody.
every white person that comes into prison. I'm not even kidding you. Of the last 10 white people that have come in to our unit, he's gotten like 70% from having some connection to him in the world. And I shit you not. Like, this is no exaggeration. So, of course, it takes him a day or two. He realizes he knows this guy through his...
It's Kevin Bacon.
And right. Kevin Bacon of old nature. And, Nate's real, like, jovial. Like, he's a good dude. He's got real convict ethos and stuff, but he's nice to be around. Anytime, I don't like dealing with people if I ever need a stuff. Hey, man, I need a cup of soup. I got two flats. You want me to go get it for you? Like, he likes it. I'm like,
really?
Yeah, I hate it. He'll go, yeah, he'll come back with it. Hey, here you go. He's just a good dude like that. Nate's a good dude. So Nate's showing him the ropes, teaching him shit, and while the other four people that are new, he's, like, doing some version of that with.
Really?
And,
four?
Yeah, he's settling. He's a good bunkie. The way I describe what I'm looking for, I'm not looking for a best friend. I'm not, you know what I mean? I just want a respectful guy who doesn't take up a lot of space, isn't talking all the time. You know, his hygiene maybe is a little on the...
All right.
But everyone's got a quirk. Everyone's got a quirk, including myself. I'm sure. I probably have multiple ones. My bunkie's quirk is I've never seen him without his hat on. Right? So he comes in with the orange winter hat, right? And out of the back of it is like a greasy like ponytail with like a shoelace wrapped around it. Like,
okay.
You know how bikers do that thing where they like kind of braid around it? Kind of like some version of that. Took me a while to realize, oh, he's sleeping in the hat too. And he never takes it off. And so about a week in, Nate is like, we got to see what's under the hat.
The white whisperer. <You know? laughs>
Yeah. The white whisper. So he's like, we need to see what's under the hat.
There, bud.
He throws up a baseball cap, like the bent. It's more like the fisherman, like the bent brim. That's like the kind of hats we can get in here. It's blue. He throws it up to him, and he's stoked. He's like, hell yeah. We turn around for 2 seconds. The next time we look at him, it's on. No one can. He waited. I actually went to sleep. Like, I was like going to sleep when it happened. Nate looked stressed out in the morning. I'm like, what happened? He's like, he waited for me to look away and he switched the hats out. And I look at the guy and he's asleep with a ball cap on in his bed.
Oh, you missed the eclipse twice.
So we're like kind of commiserating. We're trying like non-invasive ways to see what's going on under that cap. You know what I mean? Nate's kind of taking the helm of the stuff, but I'm like throwing out ideas.
Hey man, can I get like, your shoelace?
So his first shower, he comes back out of the shower and he's got his hat on. I said, my bunkie's in there in the shower with his hat on. He goes, no, I took it off. But he took it off inside there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So Nate finally is like, just come on, let us see it. He's like, nope, will not take it off. Nope, will not take it off. Nope. Nate's bald. You know, he shaved his head.
Mm-hmm.
So Nate goes, let me see your ID. Because you can't wear a hat when they take it.
Okay.
So he shows the ID. And let me just be clear. Like, I don't know about this, but there's usually some gradation from baldness to, like, full hair.
Yeah.
This dude has complete Mr. Clean dome bald for, like, the top two-thirds of his head.
What?
And then he's got really thick, dark, long hair that goes just exactly if you wear a baseball hat. Everywhere the baseball is cut. Yes, from there down. From there down, complete, luscious,
no
glorious
shit.
Blocks. Yes, and then up top, completely bald. And now I've tried to offer some. So I'm like, hey, why don't you just cut? Like, you just got it. And
Jesus.
Polo, this might not be believable to most people, but Polo has way less couth than me. And he's like, I always wonder why people did that weird ass shit. I never kept their hair while it was bald. Like, this shit looks good. It don't look good. Like, I'm like, all right.
Take it easy. Right,
that's my point. But as far as quirks go,
that's funny.
I love it. I said, did the fucking
there are so many worse quirks to have.
Do you only have ball hair? Like, is everything up top?
Oh, no.
Is that what?
We talking taint back?
Is it just the same down there? Okay.
All right.
But, no, he's a good monkey. He's a good dude.
But you said four? You have four new ones?
No. I'm saying
down two, right? In the unit, or not in your unit. In your cube, you were down to six, right? Six guys?
Yeah. Well, we got the one-armed guy is here. We call him Lefty now. Mm-hmm. Ham. Oh, we got a good one up top, Green Bay. Oh, they just closed yard. Listen, right. Take us out of here real quick.
Yeah, on behalf of everybody involved, bald on top, party in the back, Mama C, everybody out there supporting us with Dante.
Ghost Gerbil.
And everybody. Ghost Gerbs. Love you guys, and we are gone.
Gone. Talked over you. Got it. Bang. Revenge. I love you.
Love you.
I love you. Right. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone.
Hi, everybody. Mama C here. For the complete library, full episodes, and bonus content, and mainly to support this cause, visit Notes from the Pen on Patreon. To learn more about Bobby and prison reform, visit our website, notesfromthepen.com. And follow us on Twitter to stay current. This has been another Notes from the Pen production.
We found a studio.
Hello.
Hello.
Your voice sounds rich.
Oh, let me turn it down. Is that better?
No, I mean, it's good.
Oh, okay. Right on. I cranked it up to 3.5.
Oh, it is pretty actually loud when you talk like that, you put the microphone inside your beard. What's the beard like right now?
It's pretty decent. I took 2 inches off, but I'm growing my hair out also. So it's kind of like I switched.
Okay.
Hair's growing out, buddy.
Yeah, you don't want both. Unless you like the whole man bun with the beard, that's dead. That shit's over.
Yeah.
Whole like Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
That shit's done.
No, I'm going more like Peaky Blinders. So my sides right now are at like a 1. You know, like took it down to a 1 on the sides, and the top's nice and like I probably got a good.
I don't appreciate you making references that I don't get.
5 or 6 inches long. How about you ever seen the movie Fury? Brad Pitt, German tank movie.
With Bradley Pitt, man.
Yeah, Bradley Pitts. Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. You know, not quite Bradley as short Pitt. On the sides, but you know,
like him.
A little bit longer on top, you know, a little greaser on the side.
Oh, yeah, his is slicked back in that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of like that. I'll send you a photo.
How do we feel about Brad Pitt?
Brad Pitt's?
Yeah.
Depends on if you ask me or my daughter. My daughter can't stand him, but I think he's lovely.
Right, Ray is like, no, he's for sure a great actor. Mm-hmm. Let's just get that out of the way now.
Right.
And he picks really cool roles.
Right. But my kid's like, he's a shithead father. He's a shithead father. So
all
that
right.
Catches out everything. Like, it just does.
Why is he a shithead father?
I don't know. They read they're on like the TikTok and all that stuff a lot more than I am. So
you know who's a great dad?
Who?
No, you don't, because no one gives a shit about a great dad. We want, like, actors and artists and shit that people do stuff.
Wait, I'll give you one. Hang on, I'm trying to think. What's his name?
All right, wait, hold on. Time out.
Rick Moranis is a great dad. He left Hollywood.
He's shrunk his fucking kids, bro. What are you talking about?
No, after his wife passed away, he left Hollywood to raise his kids. That's a good dad. That guy walked away from millions.
Yeah, in a hamster cage.
In a hamster cage.
With a little tiny thimble full of water and shit.
Rick Moranis. Yeah. I defy you to besmirch that man's name.
Talk about a sex symbol.
Right?
From Brad Pitt or old Ricky Moe.
Just go watch Parenthood.
All right, listen, we're getting a little too much.
This is what happens.
We're getting a little...
We're lost in the weeds.
You want to fight today?
No, I don't.
You want to fight today? You want to fight today?
I chose non-violence.
You're choosing verbal violence.
No, I'm choosing verbal diarrhea. That's what I'm choosing.
Okay. Well, you're choosing timing violence.
Okay. Sorry.
So we're going to let you host the show. Hold on. First of all, we have a bunch of good pre-show banter that I don't know if any of it's usable without an intro.
But all 7 minutes is worthy.
Mama C knows what to do with it. Tack it on the end. Put the intro before it. I don't know. You figure it out. You're the nuts and bolts behind this whole thing.